Hello, my friends. Welcome once again to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 19th day of October. I'm your host, Paul White. I want to thank you for joining me, and I'm praying favor on your life. I appreciate so much, so many of you who have blessed us with your prayers. You've blessed us with your support. It has meant so very, very much to me. You continue to be a blessing to Paul White Ministries, and I hope and pray that Paul White Ministries can continue to be a blessing to you. I think I've just about concluded that I'm going to stick around for a little while in the book of Genesis. I've really wrestled with what to do. Many of you who've been on the journey with us for a while, you know that how this whole thing got started was me bringing out some highlights from the Old Testament. And I started in Genesis and just sort of bounced through all the way to Psalms, and when I got to Psalms, I slowed way down and hit everything that I saw that I liked, all the way through the end of the Old Testament. That took us a long time. Then I realized that, man, I should do a deep dive into the first few chapters of Genesis, and so that's what we started doing in May. And now we've arrived in the 11th chapter of Genesis. We went verse by verse into the fourth chapter, and then we've sort of bounced for a few weeks up through chapter 4 to this point. And I've just about reached Abraham. We're at Abraham today, and I thought, well, this is a good spot to sort of peel off and go do something else. And I've just waited on the inspiration of the Spirit, and I really wasn't hearing anything. I firmly believe we can just study. We don't have to wait on God to tell us to study that or the other, but I do like to feel as if we have the heart of the Father in whatever we say. But more, just as importantly, I want it to be interesting. And I want people to want to hear it, want to follow along, not just me talking about the stuff I want to talk about, but the things that interest people. And I've had so much response from you, the listener, about how excited, how pleased, how joyous that you've been over the book of Genesis. And I don't know, there was just something about one that I received from a listener today that let me know you should camp out here a little while longer. So, the decision's been made. I'm going to at least through the end of this month, and we'll see what happens in November, but we're going to work this Abrahamic story just a little bit. One of the things that I have brought out in the past and in our last journey through Abraham is the great call to adventure, how faith is essentially a call to adventure, to step out of your proverbial boat and to go walk on water and to see what might happen if you were to trust God for something bigger than yourself. All of faith really seems to tilt towards that, that it's trusting that if the metaphor didn't exist of walking on water, we'd make it up because it just feels so right. Trusting that you will be able to walk and be supported in the realm of the supernatural where maybe the natural doesn't even appear as if it has any hope for you. That seems to be what happens in the Abrahamic story and in the Jesus story and actually in all of the faith stories of the Bible. But what we did not discuss before and what I think now most definitely needs some attention is how we get there. How do we arrive at the Abrahamic story of Genesis 12? Well, logically, we arrive through Genesis 11, but what does Genesis 11 provide us? That often gets overlooked. And in fact, when I've went through this with you before, I didn't do much with Genesis chapter 11 outside of the Tower of Babel, because beginning in verse 10 through the end of the chapter is this long genealogical record of Shem and then Terah. And you might think, well, why bother? Because in chapter 10, you have the descendants of Noah, the genealogy of Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And it gives you Japheth's descendants, and then it gives you some of Ham's descendants. And then it ends up talking to you a little bit about Shem and the sons born to Shem. And then it moves on to the Tower of Babel. But then it circles back to Shem's descendants in Genesis 11, which seems to be, to me, a way of showing that the text wants to hone in on something particular in the descendancy of Shem. When you arrive at chapter 12, You watch as God interacts with an individual for the first time since Cain. And Cain, the conversation that God had with sort of the original civilization, Cain, didn't end very well for Cain. It ended with apparent frustration on the part of God. Cain's famous, "Am I my brother's keeper?" And God has to seal Cain. And it's as if God then really stops talking to humans. Like, we get this indication when you get into chapter 11 that at the Tower of Babel, God doesn't go down and address anyone individually. He's now just sort of setting civilization in its own little boundaries and letting it go. And then in chapter 12, we have an intervention. God speaking into a human being for the first time, but really not really into a human, just beckoning a human. Like, come follow me. I want to call you out from the place that you are. And then, of course, that call to adventure is answered by Abraham. But the genealogy of 11 seems to get us to hone in on the individual that God is going to speak to. Here's something worth considering. Many Bible scholars maintain the position that the first 11 chapters of Genesis are ancient stories developed to understand human truths, why we think the way we think, why we respond to God the way we respond to God. But then history, the history of Israel, begins to be recorded at the beginning of Genesis 12. Now, the reason why scholars feel this way is because we have these massive gaps in the creation, from the creation account to Abram, and yet we had, at one point, especially before the fall of the temple in Jerusalem in about 2,000 years ago, an Israelite could trace his lineage literally back to Abraham and trace it through a very well-structured and well-organized family tree. If you work your way backwards to Abraham, and then you work through the genealogy, there ends up being enormous question marks as we work through the genealogy, particularly the genealogy prior to Noah, because what happens is a Hebrew narrative trick in the genealogy of Noah. If you take each one of the children in that genealogy, the fathers and the sons and the grandsons, and you assign to them what their Hebrew names mean, what you have is a prophetic story of the flood. And so the names prophesy out the flood. Now, what you could say is, wow, all of those names should have told you there was a flood coming. But I hope you realize that those names did not have the meaning assigned to them when the names were given that they had assigned to them when the names were written down. And therefore, that's caused many scholars to believe that what is happening in the Noah genealogy is that they are trying to tell the story through prophecy and genealogy, which is sort of a different way of telling the same story. That leads us to think that we don't get an accurate rendering of who's who until we arrive at Abraham. And that actually is fitting because Abraham is where God begins to call men out of the fray and the mess and the mass of humanity and take a people unto himself. Okay. There's a very necessary step that needs to happen if you're going to answer the call to adventure. And we want to look at that step tomorrow. We'll see you then. God bless.